Okay, so we're in Daf Yivam and Daf Pei Dalet today. So I'll begin on Pei Dalet and Manala, four lines from the top. So the Mishnah had been talking about an androgynous. Androgynous, which we discussed on Shabbos, is a person who has male and female characteristics. So there's Machloka Tanaim in the Mishnah, you remember, between Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Lezer. Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Shimon hold that a man is chayev for having relations with the androgynous for sodomy, if he, whether it's through the front orifice or the back orifice. And Rabbi Lezer has to be like the Zachar, the back orifice. So Tani, we learned in the Brisa, Amar Rebbe. Rebbe said, Shalach Melo Torah Eitzel Rabbi Lezer Ben Shemua. When he went to study Torah with the Tana Rabbi Lezer Ben Shemua, we had earlier in Sefta about the two Rabbi Lezers, remember with Rabbi Yochanan and Seb Ben Hadad, and Rashi over there explained that Rabbi Lezer and the Mishnah, or in this case the Brisa, is Rabbi Lezer Ben Shemua, but the Amoraim is Rabbi Lezer Ben Hadad. So he says that he went study by Rabbi Lezer ben Shemua. Chavrulai Tamidav Tarnagolim Shel Beit Bukya. He says that all the other Talmidim like ganged up against me, like the Tarnagolim Beit Bukya, the apparently Tarnagolim, the chickens over there, they're very like particular and they don't allow like a foreign chicken to join the whole group. He says, Veloni Chunin Lamod, El Devarachad B'Mishnah Tena. They only let me study one thing in our Mishnah. So the question is, why would they do it? So they, you know, I didn't look at the art scroll on the other one, but they have a piece here from the Ruchlan Air. He says, why did they, it seems strange they wouldn't allow a visiting scholar to teach in the yeshiva, he says. And if they didn't want to allow him to teach, why did they acquiesce and allow him to teach this one halacha? Yeah, in other words, he goes into a different yeshiva. He's not the normally that yeshiva. And they don't know from him. And then they just let him teach one thing. So the Ruchlan there explained that students of Rabbi Lezer ben Shemua were wary that Rebbe had not come to teach, but rather to stir up trouble. In other words, they thought he's really like an Asian provocateur. He's like coming le canter or le caper, like to taunt them. So he says that we find a similar situation in Kiddushin on Daphne Bays, where after the death of Remeir, Rabbi Yehuda gave instructions to his students not to allow the students of Remeir to enter the local base medrash. And it's interesting because Rebbe was a Talmud of Remeir. Remember the Gemara says in Erevin that Remeir said, you know, Haid Adifna Mi Chabrai, the fact that I have a Milo over my, you know, Chaveirim, this is the Chazina Apid Remeir, because I saw Remeir giving Shiurim, be have a Chazina Meapai, I saw him from the back, but I'd seen him from the front, I would have been even sharper. So anyway, the students of Remeir had a well-known reputation of using their brilliant analytical study skills, not to delve deeper into clarifying the truth, but to mock and debate for the sake of criticizing their study opponents, the Kanter. In other words, to taunt somebody. In order to protect his own students, Rabbi Yehuda did not invite Remeir's group to join his yeshiva. Similarly here, this is according to the Ruchlan Air, students of Rabbi Lezer ben Shemua were concerned that Rebbe might have been coming to teach in order to disparage the Rebbe. Why did they suspect him of this? The law of having reverence for Torah scholars is derived from the word et in the verse et Hashem Elkecha Tirah. Remember, there's a drasha the Gemara has et Hashem Elkecha Tirah. Remember, that's the Gemara in Pesachim. It says that, what's his name? It's I'm trying to remember the name of the Chacham, but the Gemara says, so he learned all the etin until he came to et Hashem Elkecha Tirah, and then he was Poresh. And they said, Rebbe, how can you do that? He says, same shekibalti sachar ala drisha, kacha kabel sachar ala prisha. Until Rebbe Kiva came and he darshan ed Hashem Elkecha Tirah. In other words, he couldn't imagine other than a kacha Hashem Elkecha, which you'd have yira for. So Rebbe Kiva said, ed Hashem Elkecha Tirah, like Chazal teaches them, oh, rabbach, more shemayim. Yiri you should have for your Rebbe, you should be like yiri have for shemayim. So he says, however, not all opinions agree that the word ed can be used to teach this or any lesson. The students here wanted to be sure that Rebbe agreed that Torah scholars, such as their teacher, deserve respect. The rule of the Mishnah about androgynous is, in fact, based upon the word et. So there's some drasha that Chazal have concerning the androgynous with the word et, as in yesterday's daf. So he says, if Rebbe would agree to this halakha and the usage of the word et, this would demonstrate that he came to honor their teacher, not to disgrace him. So the letting teachers one thing apparently is like a test case to see if he darshans the word et. This is the way that Ruchlan Air wants to say. And then once they see he's darshan the word et, then he's okay. That's the lechora, the way that the malach is going. All right, I'm going to go further. Any questions, comments, or thoughts? Okay, let's keep moving. So now, Hadron Alacha Aril, Yeshkoach, you finished another perek in Masechet Yivamot. Now we're up to the ninth perek. Okay, the Mishnah says, Yeshmu Tzmerot Lebaalayen Vasru Liyivmehen. There are some women that are permissible to their husbands, but prohibited to their Yivamim. In other words, the Yavam is the surviving brother. So they're prohibited to the husband, but they're permitted to the Yavam. And then others are permissible to their Yavam, but prohibited to their husbands. He says, and some are permissible to both. And then, and some are prohibited on both. And if you look at the first Tosfos in the Perek, it says, in the Tosfos, he says, Pirisha Rav Rav Yehuda Rav Yom Tov, Lechin Derech HaTana, Lechash Pirish Hilchot HaMasechta, that the Derech of the Tana, after he explains the Halachot of the Masechta, was never Shino Tamil Shon Katzar, goes and repeats it over in a brief fashion. In other words, the Halachot he's going to say here are apparent from the previous Prakim. He says, but he teaches it in abbreviated form, so that you'll be able to keep it and go forward with it. Let's see back in the Mishnah. So the Mishnah says, so we're going to take down each group one by one. So the following are permissible to their husbands, but prohibited to the Yavamim. So again, we're having women who are permissible to the husband, but prohibited on the Yavam. So if he's prohibited on the Yavam has to do Chalitza, can't do Yibam. That's Kohen Hedyot Shnasan Almana. The Kohen Hedyot, a garden variety Kohen, he marries an Almana, Yeshlo Ah Kohen Gadol, and he has a brother who's a Kohen Gadol. So then, obviously, the brother who survives him, if he dies, he can't marry her because she's an Almana. And the Gemara will ask, why do I need to be that she's a Yivama going into this? In other words, if Reuven marries an Almana, then Reuven dies, then Shimon, his brother, who's a Kohen Gadol, can't do Yivam. Why do I need Reuven to marry an Almana? Any woman he marries would be an Almana upon his death. So the Gemara will ask this question. Then the Mishnah says, again, we're having cases where the woman is permissible to the first husband, but prohibited to the Yavam. Chalal Shnasat Shera. It says, let's say a Chalal married a Shera, Chalal married a Bat Kohen, which is allowed to do. Chalal is the product of a forbidden union with a Kohen and somebody else. Let's say a Kohen and a Grusha, he's a Chalal, so he can't do a Voda and things like that. And he married a Shera, he married a Bat Kohen, which he's allowed to do. But then he turned her into a Chalala. When he had relations with her, she's a Chalala. And then he has got a regular brother who's a regular Kohen. There was a father must have had more than one wife, whatever the situation was. So that's a case where she's permissible to husband number one, but prohibited on husband number two. Because when Reuven, the Chalal, dies, so his wife at that point is a Chalala because she had relations with the Chalal. So then she's prohibited on the regular Kohen. Yisrael shenasav bat Yisrael, or Yisrael married a bas Yisrael, a garden variety case. V'yishlo ach mamzer. He has a brother who's a mamzer. That's literally a mamzer, not like people talk in common parlance. He's got a brother who's a mamzer. So the wife is permissible to him, but prove it on the brother. Or mamzer shenamamsa mamzeret. Whether you have a shidduch between a mamzer and a mamzeret, and then that's permissible. He says v'yishlo ach Yisrael. He has a brother who's Yisrael. So those are all mutar lebalein v'asur libein. Those are all cases where the wife is permissible to husband number one, but prohibited because of reasons of halacha to husband number two. So in that case, husband number two cannot do yibam because he's prohibited from doing yibam. So he would do chalisa in that case. Okay, let's do the other cases, and we'll pause and take questions, comments, and thoughts. We're four lines above where it gets wide. Okay, Ruth, you're looking inside the Gemara. I see you looking at me the whole time. Do you have a Gemara in front of you?
I.
What? You do or do not?
I do have a Gemara, but I was about to ask you if you could move a little bit more into the screen because...
Okay. But look in the Mishnah when I read, okay? So now the Gemara says, Ve'elu mutarot yivmein v'asut l'baleyin. The following are the opposite case. They're permissible to the Yavam, but they're prohibited to the husband, meaning the husband violated halacha by marrying her, but the Kiddushin were tofes, but then when he dies, there's no problem with doing Yibam. It says, Kohen Gadol Shkadish Almana, Yishloach Kohen Hedyot. Let's say you have a Kohen Gadol was Makadish Almana. So here it's just an Erusin with the Almana. If the Kohen Gadol had relations with the Almana, she would be a Chalala. So but that's not the case. So he's Makadish, he has an Erusin with the Almana, and then he dies and he has a garden variety Kohen as a brother. So the wife was prohibited to the Kohen Gadol, but it's permissible to the Yavam. He says, Kasher Shnasa Chalala. They said, let's say you have we have to mute ourselves here. 1 second. Okay, you have a kasher shnatzachalala. This is, a kohen who's a good kohen, but he marries a chalala. So that's prohibited. So he engages in a prohibited marriage. Then he passes away. So he was married to somebody prohibited to him, Yeshtamar Chalal, but he has a brother who's a Chalal, so that's a Shidduch. The Chalal and the Chalala, those can be married to each other. Then Yisrael, Shinasa Mamzeret, Yisrael is married to Mamzeret, that's prohibited. He says, but Yishtamar Tofes, if he has the Mamzeret, Yeshtamar Ach Mamzer, but he has a brother who's a Mamzer, so then that would be a Shidduch. Then Mamzer, Shinasa Bat Yisrael, if a Mamzer married a Bat Yisrael, also prohibited, Yeshtamar Ach Yisrael, he has a So he, the Mamzer, is married to Bas Yisrael, and the Mamzer dies, and he's a brother who's a Bas Yisrael. He's a Kasher. So those are Mutar Livnei and Rasur the Baldai. In these cases, the woman was prohibited to the first husband, but the Yavam is permissible. And then we have a green light for the Yavam. Now the following cases are prohibited both to the first husband and to the Yavam. This is Kohen Gadol Shana Sad Almana. You have a Kohen Gadol now, he's Nasan Almana. He married her, he has relations with her. And he has a brother who's a Kohen Gadol. So it's not a good Shidduch for him, not a good Shidduch for the Kohen Gadol. So the Kohen Gadol has to do a Chalitza, can't do Yibam. Or Kohen Hedyot. Or he, the Kohen Gadol, has a Kohen Hedyot as a brother. So even though the Kohen Hedyot is allowed to marry an Almana, in this case, though, the fact that she had relations with the Kohen Gadol turns into a Chalala, so he can't do it that way. He says, or Kasher Shasa Chalala. If a regular Kohen, but he marries a Chalala, which is prohibited to him, and he has a brother who's a Kasher. So he was married to the Chalala, was prohibited, and the brother also was prohibited on the Chalala, again, prohibited on both. Yisrael Shnasa Mamzeret, or Yisrael is married to Mamzeret, he says, V'yeshto Ach Yisrael. So it's prohibited on both. In other words, he says, or Mamzer Shnasa Bat Yisrael, Mamzer Baron Bat Yisrael, obviously prohibited marriage. He has a brother who's a mamzer, so she was prohibited on both of them. So in this case, they're prohibited on both of them. He says, and again, in each one of these cases, though, it's just Easter Elavim, so the Kedushin or Toface, so the non-Miyabim brother will have to do Chalitza in these cases. He says, Ushar Kol Anashim, all other women, he says, Mutar L'Balayim L'Vayim, all other women are prohibited to their husbands and to their Yibamim. Okay, any questions, comments, or thoughts on what we did so far? Okay, I'm moving forward. Okay, now, the Talmud Mishnah says, Shniot midibrei sofrim. So we've had this before in the Gemara. We know that there are certain relationships which are prohibited on a deraisa level, obviously like incestuous relations, like a man with a sister or a daughter or something like that. But then there are shniot, things that are prohibited only on a drabanan level. For example, a man with his grandmother is a din drabanan. A man with his daughter or son's daughter-in-law would also be a drabanan. Those are called shnio. So shnio means a very sofrim. Let's say I have relations with the person's having relations with a shnio. It says shnio labal vo shnio liyavam. If the woman is a shnio to the husband, first husband, but not to the yavam. For example, again, for yivam, we go by the father's side, like paternal brothers. So let's say Reuven marries his grandmother. That would violate, on a rabbinic level, that would violate the Torah. Then he has a brother who's a brother by, with a different mother. So shni b'divrei sofrim, shni labal, below shni labavam. So the shni for the first husband, after the yavam, asur labal, mutar liyavam. So it would be permissible for the second husband. Shni liyavam, below shni labal. Let's say the woman is a shni liyavam. In other words, you could have different, it could be either it could be the Avam's grandmother and not the first husband's grandmother, or it could be the Avam's, daughter's daughter-in-law or someone like that, but not the first husband's. Asur liyavam uter labal. Now, shni lezeh lezeh, asur lezeh lezeh. So you're both in that. Now, okay, so the Adkan, we dealt with the dinim of Yibam. Okay, so we went through the situation. Now the Talmud Mishnah says, let's say a person marries, illegally, he marries shniot la'arayot. He marries, a woman that's prohibited on a drabanan level. So ein la lo ktuba. So she's not entitled to collect her ksuba. In other words, the chazal wanted to, in other words, the purpose of the ksuba is to say kalbeinav legarsha. It won't be easy in his mind to divorce the woman. In other words, if I know I have to pay out, let's say, $100,000 when I divorce my wife, it's an additional calculation before I divorce my wife, if I know I have that obligation. But here, Chazal don't want her to remain with him. They want him to divorce. So as a matter of law, ein la lo ktuba, below peirot, she doesn't have peirot, meaning if during the course of the marriage, and they were married because the kiddushin of tofes is they violated din de rabbanan, but well, let's say she brought in property, nifse milug, so the husband is normally entitled to eat the payroad from the nifse milug, and he did. He consumed the payroad, and the payroad doesn't have to be eaten. He's got income from like income-bearing properties, so he's got the income from that. So the only thing is that Chazal learned this later on in Pesach Ksubas, they were talking a quid pro quo, that the husband is entitled to the payroad, in return for which he has to agree, or at law, he's obligated to be poed to her if she's taken captive. Like Bizman Chazal, people would run around like taking people for ransom. So in a way, it's not so much different than today in some parts of the world. So, but in this case, he's not obligated to be poed to her, because again, Chazal wanted to encourage the divorce of the whole situation. And and Rashi says, the terms of the if you look two lines above where it gets wide in the Rashi, Dim Tishtabaya Farkina, he says that normally he says if you take him captive, I'll be po to you, that's side bezdin. This is not chayev, lo karinan bay, but odvinach into. In other words, normally language is, and I'll restore you to me, my wife. Here, it's not like a wife, and so it's wife against halacha. So since he's not obligated to be po to her, I would think that he should make restitution for the payroll. In other words, he's getting one thing without the consideration for it. But so Chazal say no, he doesn't have to pay back any payroll. He says back in the Gemara Mishnah, He says ein la lo kinu lo payroll below mizono, and she's not entitled to mizono. Meaning when she's there, she can't like sue him or press him to support her with mizono, which the wife normally could. And even if he takes a trip and she borrows money, and normally he would be obligated to pay the debt on that. He's not obligated to pay the debt on that. Velo bala'od, and then he's not entitled to recoup her bala'od. Bala'od are worn out garments that maybe he used, she brought it into the marriage. So she's not entitled to get like the usage for it. According to Rashi, she can't even get out the worn argument, the garments that are left, but that's subject to machlokin and the farshim. The havlat kasher, but the offspring of that union would be totally kasher, even though the parents have violated a din de rabbanan. There's no taint that attaches to the offspring from the marriage. He says v'kofin oto lahotzi. In addition to which, we the bezin would force him to divorce such a woman because he's violating halacha. Then the Tanna Mishnah says aman lekohen gadol ush v'chalus lekohen hagod mamzer until Israel, but Israel and not to the mamzer. These are cases are generally prohibited on a deraisa level, nishlan ksuba. Those women were somewhat counterintuitively, even though the Tanna Mishnah says if you violated din rabbanan, so then she forfeits a lot of her privileges, the ksuba, the payroad, the blau, all the whole thing. He says, but right, if it's deraisa, not. So why not? Why deraisa not? So the Gemara in tomorrow's daf will get into this, but one answer the Gemara is going to have is that, and you see this in Shas, that the Chachamim did a chizuk with Debrayim. Sometimes it's Dindra Banan, they're trying to be mechazik more, but Dibri Torah don't require a chizuk. That's what Rebbe says in tomorrow's daf. Now, the only thing, the fly in the ointment with that explanation is that we have chalutza here. Chalutza is a Dindra Banan. In other words, among all the other ones that it mentions, it says, Amanot Kalagdol Gusho, but chalutza going to go, but I'm turning to Israel, by some time to the Mamza. Those are all the Raisa, except the chalutza. The chalutza is the rabbanan. So it goes together, those two go throughout Shas, Gusha v'chalutza. So either it means that Chazal nevertheless, gave chalutza the status of a Gusha, like maybe they go together all the time, so the chalutza would be in a different category. Or the other pshat is, no, chalutza is just thrown in because that's the way it always goes together. But in a chinami, the chalutza would forfeit all the rights, just like all the other rabbanan. All right? Okay, any questions, comments, thoughts on anything we did so far?
The first answer is that Gerusha?
Right. In other words, that the Chachamim in this case, they carved out an exception for Chalutza. In other words, because you could say Gerusha and Chalutza always go together. So they said it's the same dinim. That's one shot. Okay. All right. Any questions, comments, thoughts? Okay. Let's keep moving. So we're six lines from the bottom in the Gemara. So we're going to focus on the first case in the Mishnah. We had a lot of different cases, but the first case we had was, these were mutarot lebalein asrut levayim, people who were women who were permissible to their husbands but prohibited to the yavam. And the first case was kohen hedyot or shenasan almana. The kohen hedyot, he married an almana, so we said that and he has an aunt who's a Kohen Gadol. He's got a brother who's a Kohen Gadol, so she's permissible for the husband because he's a Kohen Het Yod, but for the Kohen Gadol, she'd be prohibited. So the Gemara says, "My ear Yitani Nasa." Why is it that the Tana says Nasa, that he did marriage? In other words, he did Nisuin with her. In other words, he had relations with her. Litni Kidesh. Why couldn't he have said he's Makadish her? Wouldn't I have the same result? He's Makadish her. The Chitema, Tama Danasa Double Esse Velota said. Maybe it's like this. The reason he says Nasa, he wants to have a case where I have an Esse Yibum versus an Esse Velota said. Meaning, a Kohen Gadol, his brother's a Kohen Gadol. The Kohen Gadol has to marry a Betula. So it could be that she was an Almana from the first marriage, but the first marriage may never have been through Nisuin. In other words, she could have been an Almana from Averson. So she was still a Betula. Then if husband number two, which is Reuven, the Kohen, marries her, now he's marrying Almana, and then he's only Mekadesh her, and then he dies, she's still a Betula. So if that would be the case, then his brother Shimon, the Kohen Gadol, would be faced with an essay, du yibum, versus one lav, which is amana lo yikach, but not the kim, the essay of kim betula mimav yikach isha. So if on the other hand, he has the suin, then she's not a betula anymore. So then he's got two impediments to yibum. One is the essay, one is the lav. The lav of he can't marry an amana, and the essay that he has to marry a betula. So maybe we bedafka want there to be an essay in the lo tase. So the chitema tama derasa double esse velo tase about kidesh, but we think right now, let's say he only did erusin and she was still a betula at the esse bidocha lo tase. So we think maybe the esse then of yibum would come and bidocha the lo tase of manalo yikah. That's what we think. So he says, but the gemara says hakadabi ba kula pirkin esse velo tase hu lo at the esse bidocha lo tase. Kula pirkin means in the mishnah, this mishnah, you know, in other forms is divided up into different portions. The whole Mishnah is filled with cases like that. You have where the woman is a mamzeret, you know, and then the brother is faced with yibum versus marrying the mamzeret. It's also an essay, and we don't say you do yibum with that. So we have lots of cases like that in the Mishnah. And if you remember, the Gemara learned earlier on Daf Puff, the Gemara asked this question, and the Gemara had different ukimtas, and the Gemara concluded that the first bia, he technically could do on a direct level, but he couldn't do the other bias. And it was the first bia, the shame yibum he could do. Afterwards, not. So the chachamim goes there, the whole thing, because we're afraid that he's going to continue to have relations with her. So, but anyway, there's no mitzvah of yibum. So the Gemara says, so that's not the answer. And Rashi has a different hesber here, but that's the simple hesber. So the Gemara says, the reason he teaches me nasa, mishum tekabai limit nesefa, because there's a case in the Sefer of the Mishnah, and this case in the Sefer is in the second wide line, where it was Elu Asru Le'elu Le'elu. The following women are prohibited to both the husband and to the Yavam, and that one case was Kohen Gadol Shon Asad Almana V'Yishtalach Kohen Gadol or Kohen Het Yod. If Kohen Gadol marries an Almana, Nasa Almana, he marries an Almana, so by marrying the Almana, he turns her into a Chalala. And even if he has a Kohen Het Yod, he can't marry her anymore if the Kohen Gadol dies. He says, so the Gemara thinks he mentions Kohen Gadol here in this case, that the Kohen Het Yod, that's Almana. So here we have Kohen Het Yod and the Reisha that married the Almana. He says, Bishum to Kabayan Lemit Nesefa, Kohen Gadol Shasad Almana. In that case, Dafka Nasa. In that case, Bedafka has to be a case of Nisuin, the Shavi Chalala, because then he turns the wife into a Chalala. About Kide Sharyale. If he would only do in that last case Kiddushin, so she would be permissible to the Kohen's brother. So he says, so therefore, he's going to keep it like consistent throughout. We think Nasa, you know, Nasa there, so I'm going to do Nasa here. That's what we think. So the Gemara says, why are you looking so much at the Seifa? Between the Reisha and the Seifa, we have another case. So this is on the three lines above where it gets wide. This was the case of Mutara Uyavayan Vasur Labalayan, permissible to the Yavam, but prohibited to the husband. And that's Kohen Gadol Shekidesh and Halmana. But the Kohen Gadol is Mekadesh, not Nasa. Mekadesh and Halmana, Yishalach Kohen Het Yod. And he's a brother who's a Kohen Het Yod. And there, Bedafka, we want just Shekidesh. So I have a case of Kiddushin with the Kohen earlier than that. He says, so that Hesber doesn't cut it. In other words, we thought we have a Kohen Het Yod. You know, it says here, Shanasa Amana, so he thought, well, he's, you know, following language later on, but there's other language in the middle. So scratch what we said. So rather, the reason he says Kohen had Yotzei Nesal Amana, because of the case which is right next to it. The case immediately following it is Halal Shnasa Ksheira. Halal married a Ksheira, but Kohen, he says, V'yeshlo Ach Pasher. So he's a Halal, he marries the Ksheira, he marries his Bas Yisrael, but he's a Halal, so he's Nasa and Ksheira, V'yeshlo Ach Pasher. So that's a case that Mutaro Lebalein, in other words, a Halal can marry a Bat Kohen. Once the Halal marries the Bat Kohen, if he has relations with her, she's prohibited on the brother who's a bona fide Kohen. He says, so back in the Gemara, Elam Shem Bat Bukta, when the Mitna Halal Shem Sak Shera, there, but that next case in the Mishnah, I'm going to have Nasa. I have to have Nasa in that case. I can't have Kidesh, it's got to be Nasa because he turns into a Halala. So Tama the Nasa, the Shavi Halala, because he's Nasa, he turns into Halala about Kidesh Sharyale. But if he was just Mekadesh, so it would be permissible to the brother. So Mishum Haki Tani Nasa. So therefore, he learns Nasa here. So in other words, the Tana wants to keep it simple. In other words, in the beginning cases, we're going to do Nasa in both. But I really need Nasa for the second case. I don't need Nasa for the first case. Okay, everybody good?
Second case was a Chalal that married a regular girl?
A Bat Kohen. A Bat Kohen. That's the case. All right, are you okay, Phil? All right. Okay, I'm going forward. All right. Okay, so now the Gemara asks a different question. Why does it have, again, in the first case, Kohen Gadol Shenasad Almana? Why don't I have just a Kohen Gadol Shenasad Abatula? If a Kohen Yeshiva, he marries a Batula, then he turns her into an Almana. And then they'll be prohibited on his brother, who's a Kohen Gadol. Okay, the first case in the Mishnah, we'll focus. You have a Kohen Hedyot marries an Almana, and he has a brother who's a Kohen Gadol. And Reuben, the Kohen Hedyot, is going to die. So why do I need that he marries an Almana? Why can't he marry Betula, and then she'll be a Mana anyway? So he says, you might need the Kohen Almana, let me be Betula. So turn page on the top line on the days. So he says, V'chi tema k'sabar haitani tsuna rishonim apilin. Maybe this Tana holds that for purposes of Yibum, we look at the woman as she was at the time she entered the marriage. In other words, Yibum begins with the marriage, with Reuven's marriage. So maybe the Tana holds, and even though it says Nisun, it really means Kiddushin Rishonim, that the first, that's what they had in the art school, that Kiddushin Rishonim are appealing. So we look at, so if that's the case, if he marries a Betula, so even though Lachor, and nobody holds like this way, but this is what the Gemara is thinking, that even though he marries a Betula, and then he dies, now she's Almana, the Kohen Gadol would be permissible to her. That's what we think. So the Gemara says, but Hare Halal Shnasak Shera. But the next case is a Halal married a Bat Kohen. Below Amina Nisun Rishon Apil, we don't say that the wife is permissible to his Ach Kasher. The next case in the Mishnah is a Halal married a Bat Kohen, which he could do. But we don't. But it's not permissible to his brother, who's a good Kohen. So we don't say that way. So clearly not that way. So that we have to have a different answer. We're trying to figure out, why does he have the case of the, you know, the Kohen that marries a Almana, not a Betula? So the Gemara says, Habadei Mishum Seifa. So this is definitely because of the Seifa. Mishum Tekabaylam in the Seifa. He wants to teach a case in the Seifa, which we had a few moments ago. Kohen Gadol Shenasad Almana, Yishtuach Kohen Gadol. Kohen Hedyot. That case with the Kohen Gadol married an Almana and he has a brother Kohen Gadol or a brother who's a Kohen Hedyot, so I need this woman to be passeled for the Kohen Hedyot. So if he marries an Almana, she's passeled, she's a Kalala, but if it's Betula, not this way. So Dafka Almana, but Betula Chazile, but the Betula, if he married a Betula, she would be Rui for the surviving brother, Mishumahaki Katani Almanas. Therefore, in the first case, he teaches the Almana. In other words, the Tana wants to keep the cases simple. Remember, it's all done by memory in this case. So we won't go with this case. Actually, we'll try to keep it as simple as possible. So the first case, we said we're going to do where the Kohen is Nasad Almana, and Nasa, because the second case is also Nisuin, the case has to be Nisuin. And we're going to do that he marries an Almana, not marries a Betula, because he has the case later on where Bedafka only works if the Kohen Gadol marries an Almana, then she's prohibited to the brother, even though he's... I mean, he's got one brother's coin, you don't want to, but even in the regular one. Okay? All right. Any questions, comments, or thoughts on anything we did so far? All right. I'm moving on. Okay. Now, the Gemara is going to ask another question. If you remember, we learned this daf last week. It was on daf Ayin Chet, right? So that's last week. Yeah. So it's almost a week ago. So we spoke about the Adomi and the Mitzri. So Adomi and the Mitzri are not allowed to come to Kahal, remember? But for the third generation could come to Kahal. So you have, we're focusing on the Mitzri of Mitzri Rishon, Mitzri Sheni, and then Mitzri Shlishi. So we had a question in the Gemara, what if a Mitzri, you know, Sheni marries a Mitzri Rishona? So is the offspring a Mitzri Shlishi? You know, in other words, you follow the father or follow the mother? If you follow the father, then he can come to Kahal. If you follow the mother, then he can't come to Kahal. So we had two Lashonos in Rabbi Yochanan, but the one that we're going to focus on here. So the first Lashon of the Gemara was we follow the father, in which case then there's not going to be an issue in terms of Yibam because all the sons will be the same level. But Rav Dimi said you follow the mother. That was Rav Dimi's version of Rabbi Yochanan, you follow the mother. So the Gemara is going to say, according to Rav Dimi, I could have two brothers who have the same father, but the father married, well, the father was a Mitzri Sheni, and in one marriage he married a Mitzri Rishona was the wife, and the other marriage it was a Mitzri Shnia. So one brother is a Mitzri Sheni following the mother. So if the wife was a Mitzri Rishon, the brother is a Mitzri Sheni, and in another marriage he married a Mitzri Sheni, and the brother is like able to come to Kahal. So let's see back in the Gemara. So the Gemara is going to wonder why we couldn't have cases, or we'll see in a minute. Now the Gemara says on line 6, everybody with me? Okay. If this is going to be a kasha on Rav Dimi, if Rav Dimi's halacha is correct, if Rav Dimi, that you follow the mother, and that if you marry, if a Sheni marries a Rishona, so the offspring is a Sheni, probably the Tananami, Mitzri Sheni Shnasa Shnei Mitzriot. The Tana should have had a case like this. In other words, he should have included, in other words, in the case of the Mishnah, we have all these cases where it's prohibited on the Yavam, permissible to the, or prohibited on the Baal, permitted to the Yavam, or prohibited on the Baal and permissible to the Yavam, or prohibited to both, or permissible to both. So he left out a case, if you hold like Rav Dimi's halacha, he left out a case with the Mitzri Rishon and the Mitzri Sheni. He says, Litni Nami Mitzri Sheni Shasashne Mitzriot. We can have a case with the Mitzri Sheni. I don't know a good name for the Mitzri Sheni, but he's a Mitzri Sheni, and he married two different women. One woman was Achat Rishona v'Achat Shnia, and then he marries one woman as a Mitzri Rishona, one a Mitzri Shnia. Vayilu banim Rishona Shnia. He had sons from the Rishona Shnia. So inasu ki urchaihu. So then, assuming the Rav Dimi is correct, I have two brothers, right? They're both Mitzri Sheni, but I'm sorry. I have two brothers. If Rav Dimi is correct, one brother is a Mitzri Shlishi. He can come to Kahal because his mother was a Mitzri Sheni. So he can come to Kahal. He's a Shlishi. And another brother is a Mitzri Sheni because his mother was a Mitzri Rishona. You got this or not? Yes or no? All right, let's focus again. Okay, so Rav Dimi says when it comes to the Mitzri, we follow the mother. So you have a Mitzri Sheni, the father, but he's not the key one. He marries two different women. One woman he marries is a Mitzri Rishona. One marries a woman he marries Mitzri Shnia. They both have sons. So the two sons are brothers, paternal brothers. Right. So the one whose mother is a Sheni, according to Rav Dimi, or Shnia, he can come to Kahal. The one who's a Rishon is a Sheni. He can't come to Kahal. Now, so in that case, I'm going to have it. So he says, Inasub Kir Chaihu. If each of those brothers marry with the women who are permissible to them, meaning the Mitzri Shlishi marries a Bas Yisrael, and the Mitzri Sheni marries a Mitzri Shnia. So he says, Mutarot Labalehen. So in each of those instances, so the wife is permissible to the husband, the Bas Yisrael is permissible to the Mitzri Shlishi, and the Mitzri Shnia is permissible to the Mitzri Sheni, Basur Liyav Mayim, but they can't, they're prohibited in the Yavam. In other words, the Bas Yisrael, if her husband dies, then the surviving brother is a Mitzri Sheni. She can't marry the Mitzri Sheni. And as Mitzri Sheni dies, her husband, then the wife is a Mitzri Shnia. So she's prohibited in the Mitzri Shlishi because he's like a regular Yisrael now. So that's one case that we don't have it in the Mishnah. The Epoch the nasav mutarot liyvein vasu libaleyin. If they marry punkaker, they violate the halakha, and they each marry someone who's prohibited to them. Meaning, the mitzri sheni marries bas Yisrael, and the mitzri shlishi marries a mitzri shnia. So the wives are prohibited to their husbands, but they're permissible to the yavam, right? Because the mitzri sheni married a bas Yisrael. So if he dies, so the surviving brother is a mitzri shlishi. And the mitzri shlishi married a mitzri sheni, which he shouldn't have done. But if he dies, the mitzri sheni is linked up with the mitzri sheni with the mitzri sheni. So those two cases we have. And then mutarot le'elu, I can have a case where the wives are permissible to both. That's giorot. If they each marry giorot, and it's going according to the shita that kahal geirim lo'ikri kahal. Geirim are not called the kahal. So it says that the mitzri can't enter the kahal Hashem. And then asur elu elu, where they're prohibited on both, there would be iloniot. If the mitzri sheni, he illegally marries a bas Yisrael who's an iloni. So that's the wife is prohibited to him because she's a bas Yisrael. But then if he dies, and then the mitzri shlishi is the brother, so he's allowed to marry a bas Yisrael, but Yibum, I can't have an iloni. The iloni is out of the parsha Yibum, because, you know, Shel Yivne Beit Achiv, the iloni, Chazal, we learn, is not in the part of the parsha. So no mitzvah Yibum, so then it's only an Isur, so it's Asur Le'elu Le'elu. Well, here we're just focusing on the one who's a mitzri sheni. In this case, we're the one who's mitzri sheni. Again, the mitzri sheni illegally married a bas Yisrael who's an iloni. So that's prohibited. If the mitzri sheni dies, the iloni is prohibited in yibum to the mitzri shlishi because she's an iloni. There's no mitzvah yibum with an iloni. Remember, we learned that. So the no mitzvah yibum is just an Easter kare to marrying the husband's wife. Anyway, so the fact that the Tana did not give those cases, that's a kasha against Rav Dimi. In other words, if Rav Dimi is wrong, if the other member of the I think Rabbi Bar Bar Chana, in other words, if he said we follow the father, then I understand that I don't have the case. So, yeah, so the other one was Rabbi Bar Bar Chana, the name of Rabbi Yochanan. So it's a kasha against Rav Dimi. That's the akrafta. Okay? So the Gemara says, not a problem. Tana Bashir. That the Tana did not make a comprehensive list of all the cases that he could have listed. He left it out. In other words, so the fact that he left out Mr. Shani is not a problem. So the verse is my shear, the highest shear. So we know the klal is the Tana doesn't leave one case out. So what else did he leave out? If you're saying he left out the mystery case, he had to leave out another case. Otherwise, we got a kasha. So he says, Shir Psuadaka. So the Gemara says, he left out the case of Psuadaka. So Rashi goes through Psuadaka. I could also have all four cases. Here, let's say if Reuven is Psuadaka, he's prohibited on his wife, but his brother is permissible with the wife. Or if Reuven is not a Psuadaka and his brother's a Psuadaka, so the wife is permissible to him but prohibited to his brother. If they're both Psuadakas, the wife is prohibited on both. And if he marries a Gioret, then it's permissible for both. Okay? So he says, so since I see the Tana left out Psuadaka, so he left out Psuadaka, he also left out Mitzri. So the Gemara says, Imishum Psuadaka lav Shiura. Now, the Mitzri is an essay, right? The Mitzri is Dor Shlishi Avolahem Bekal Hashem. That's an essay. So Psuadaka, the fact that he left out Psuadaka, that's not really leaving something out. Why? The Tana is filled with cases about a Chiyuv Lav. He teaches me Almana with the Kohen Gadol. So we have lots of Gemaras if you want to join us, Yossi. So he has Almana with the Kohen Gadol. So once he has one Lav, I can extrapolate that this will be the rule for all the other Lavin. I need focus, okay, because we have limited time, okay? So the Tana is teaching me cases, you know, all the permutations. It's prohibited one, prohibited the other, prohibited both, permissible to both. So if the Tana teaches me with one Chiyuv Lav, I can extrapolate for other Chiyuv Lavs. So the Tana already taught me the Almana with the Kohen Gadol. The Almana with Kohen Gadol is a Lav, and I have all four cases. So every Lav would be that way. So if he teaches me that, he doesn't have to teach me the case of Psuadaka, which is also a Lav. So the Gemara says, Atu, so that's not Shir. So Atu Chayvi Lav and Milo Katani Vahadur Tani. So the Gemara says, yeah, but by, I mean, the Almana with Kohen Gadol, doesn't he teach other Chiyuv Lavim? But Katani, because we learn in the Mishnah, Kohen Hadyotchna Salmana. First we learn about the Kohen Hadyot marries an Almana. So that was the case what he was allowed to do, but then his brother would run into problems. Then the chalal shnas akshera. Then he teaches them in the case of a chalal, the married akshera. So the prohibition of a chalal or a, and he turns her into a chalala. So the prohibition with a chalala with a kohen would be a lav. Yishazon av a chalala yikathu. So even though the Tana told me one lav with Almana kohen gadol, he doesn't stop him. He teaches me another lav. So if he's teaching me he's on a roll with lavim, so why doesn't he teach me psuadaka? So that leads me to the conclusion that psuadaka was left over. So the Gemara says, no, that's not an extra throw in here. The fact that he taught me chalal shnasak shera, he's throwing that in to teach me agavor for the din that Rav Yehuda teaches me in the Rav. The Amar Rav Yehuda Marav, Rav Yehuda says in the Rav, lo huzruk shera lina se the psulim. That the shera means the benot kohen. The benot kohen are not admonished against marrying psulim. In other words, a kohen cannot marry a chalala, but a bat kohen could marry a chalal. Bat Kohen could marry a chalal. So the Tana here, in Achinami, vis-a-vis Lavim, it's not cutting new ground in terms of Yibam, but the Tana wants to throw in this case to teach me Agav Orcha that a Bat Kohen can marry Psulim, you know, Psulim that would be for a Kohen. In other words, the Kohen, in other words, like a Kohen can't marry Giyoret, but a Bat Kohen can marry a Ger, and a Kohen can't marry a Chalala, but a Bat Kohen can marry a Chalal. That's what he wants to say. So the Gemara says, "Va'kani chalal shnasak shera, the Yisrael shnasak bat Yisrael, the yesh lo'af mamzer." So the Gemara says, "So he teaches me chalal shnasak shera, fine, but then he teaches me Yisrael shnasak bat Yisrael, the yesh lo'af mamzer." He has another case now, mamzerus. So isn't that like superfluous? He teaches me a lot for no reason. So hanami lo mahadir mitnehi. That's not going over the previous ground. Dashwin and lav shin shava bakol. First, the Tana, the Mishnah, teaches me a lav that doesn't apply to everybody. In other words, with Yibam, there's no mitzvah of Yibam if it's a lav shein shabbat b'kol. In other words, if it's a lav that doesn't apply to all Jews, I might think its impact is more limited, and therefore I might think. If it's ain't Shabbat b'kol, b'kamash b'lan lav ha-Shabbat b'kol. In other words, he teaches me, in other words, the lav that relates to, the Isturei Kahuna, that's lav sheino Shabbat b'kol. It doesn't apply to all Jews, it just applies to Kohanim. And yet, in that case, the Tana teaches me that, in other words, the lav is not as strong if it's not Shabbat b'kol. So in that case, he teaches me that, I didn't say right. It's lav shein shabbat b'kol, and that's the case where he teaches me that there's no mitzvah of yibum. There's no mitzvah of yibum. He says, but one second. Yeah. So he says the first law is more narrow, which is the chalala. He says, so essentially, the Mishnah that retains mitzvah yibam applies even in the latter case. So, in other words, he's teaching me. In other words, he says it's a mitzvah yibam, but not to go forward to do the yibam. But in other words, I guess to do chalitza is really what he's saying. In other words, if the mitzvah yibam applies, in other words, you have to do chalitza is really what it would come out to, because you can't go forward with the yibam. But in other words, that there is a mitzvah, even though there's a lav over there. That's what I would say. So he says here. So first he teaches me lav shein shabbat b'kol, but kamash b'lan lav ha-shabbat b'kol. So the Gemara says, even with that, ha-katan Yisrael shenasam amzeret, v'yishto ach Yisrael, and umamzer shenasam amzer v'yishto ach Yisrael. But even with that, I have cases with the the Israel marries a mamzeret, and his brother is Israel, and a mamzer that married a mamzeret. In other words, so he's repleting the mamzer cases with a different fact pattern. So he is adding extra cases superfluously in the Mishnah. So that elav shmamina tan of a shir shmamina. So if that's the case, so then he should have had psua daka there. So since he didn't have psua daka, that's the key. He left psua daka out. He left mitzri out as well. Okay. All right. I got to keep moving. We're running out of time. Okay. So let's see. Okay. Any questions, comments, or thoughts? Everybody good? Okay. All right. So now the Gemara says gufa. So earlier we learned from the Gemara, Amar Rav Yudah Marav, Rav Yudah Marav, Lo Huzru Kshero Lina Se L'Psulim, that the Benot Kohen are not admonished to marry people who would be Psulim. In other words, the Bat Kohen can marry a Chalal. The Bat Kohen can marry a Ger. In other words, even though on the male side can't do that. So the Gemara says, Lema Mesayale, should we say we have support? Now, remember in the previous Gemara, we said Bedafka, the Tana Mishnah taught this case to corroborate this. So the Gemara says, Lema Mesayale, should I say I have support for Rav Yudah of Rav from the Mishnah? Chalal Shasak Shera, that the Chalal married a Kshera, the Chalal married a Bat Kohen, and then he turns her into a Chalala, but in other words, teach me though that a Chalal, that the Kshera can marry a Chalal. My lot Kohenet, my Kshera, Kshera Lakuna. So does it not mean when it says it's Kshera, it's talking about a Bat Kohen, and then it says that so he marries a Kshera, she married somebody he married somebody who's Kshera Lakuna. Lo, Yisraeli. So the Gemara says, no, I could say that it means that he married a Bas Yisrael. So it seems sort of strange. Again, the case in the Mishnah is, again, the case in the Mishnah was, this was the case where Mutarot Baalein Basrut Livmeyan, they're permissible to the husband, but prohibited on the Yava. So Chalal Shinasak Shera, the Chalal married a Kshera, but he turns her into a Chalala, and then he has an Ach Kasher. He has a brother that's a Kasher. So it's permissible to the husband, but prohibited to the Yava. Okay, so it seems sort of strange. So the Gemara says, who is he marrying? About Kohen, right? So all it says in the Mishnah is that it says Chalal Shinasak Shera. So Kshera means we think that the Bat Kohen, and she was before the marriage, Kshera for Kuhuna. That's what we think. So the Gemara is, so if that's the case, we have corroborating evidence to support Rav Yehuda Rav, because the Torah says they're permissible to the husband. So permissible to the husband means the husband can marry them. And here we have a Chalal that marries a Kshera, marries a Bat Kohen, is permissible. That supports Rav Yehuda Rav. So the Gemara says, no, maybe the Mishnah means Chalal Shnasak Shera means he married a Bat Yisrael. Married a Bat Yisrael. So the Gemara says, Mike Shera, what does it mean? Shera Lakal, that she's Kasher to enter the call of the Kal. Ihachi, Yeshlo Ach Kasher Nami. Kasher Lakal. So if that's the case, so then it says he has, he has a brother that's Kasher, that should be just Kasher Lakal. Mekal Duhu Pasul Lakal. That would mean, in other words, if one's Kasher, one's not Kasher, means the Kalal is Pasul to enter the Kal, but that doesn't make sense. A Kalal is not enter the Kal. The Lav Kohen, is it not that the Kalal is a Kohen, and with who Kohen, he Kohen. In other words, the brothers of Kohen and the woman and there's a back Kohen. So the Gemara says, meet the area. How could he eat the Baha could eat? So the Gemara says, who it's not Luchrach to be that way. It could be the brother indeed is a Kohen, but it means that he is talking about that he married a Bas Yisrael. So what would be the Pshat? In other words, the Chalal marries a Bas Yisrael. It's permissible to him, but it's prohibited to the brother. What is being prohibited to the brother? So Rashi brings down the Gemara. If you look at my Kshera, Kshera, the Kahuna, the Kaimalan you have in the Rashi, Kohen calls Manchimot Tzili Sabat Kohen, Lo Yisabat Yisrael. So Rashi brings down Mimra Chazal that a Kohen should preferably marry a Bat Kohen. In other words, Kohen should marry only a Bat Kohen. The Amar B'Sakim, Sudar Rashut Bat Yisrael, the Kohen, be the Ogren. So the Gemara says, what's an example of Tzudas Mitzvah and Tzudas Rishut? Tzudas Rishut, if the Shidduch is between a Kohen and a Bas Yisrael, that's Tzudas Rishut, not Tzudas Mitzvah. So in other words, that would be the shot in the Gemara. The Mishnah would be saying that Mutarot the Baalehen and Asurot to the Yavam would be the Bas Yisrael. That would be the shot. But the Gemara just takes that as a possibility, not Muchrak that way. But the Gemara is saying, I can't incontrovertibly bring a proof to Rabbi Yudalim Ibrah from the Mishnah because this alternative shot is a possibility. Okay? So let's see back in the Gemara. Okay, so the Gemara says, Mativ Ravin Bar Nachman. So again, so Rav says, Lo who's Mukir in the Nasid Psulim? The Benot Kohen are not admonished not to marry the Psulim. So the Gemara asks a question, or a Ravin Bar Nachman does from the following Braisa. The Braisa says, Lo Yikahu, Lo Yikahu. It says twice in the Pasuk, Lo Yikahu. It says, Amenagru Shavachal Zanai Lo Yikahu, Kimbetavu. What is the, how does the pasuk begin? Oh yeah, Isha Zanavakalo Yikahu, Isha Grusham Isha Lo Yikahu. Okay, so it says twice in the pasuk Lo Yikahu. So we think the pshat in the Braisa is that the woman, the Bat Kohen, is admonished not to marry all the people that the Kohen can't marry. So if the Kohen can't marry them, we think the Isha also can't marry them. This would be a kasha against Rabbi Yehuda in the name of Rav above. So Amar Rava. So Rav is explaining the Braisa. What does the Braisa mean? Well, Hecha to who muzhar he muzharet. But Hecha to who lo muzhar he lo mizdaharo. So no, what the Braisa means is, if a Kohen wants to marry a Chalala, so just like the Kohen is under an admonition not to marry the Chalala is under an admonition not to marry the Kohen. So they both do an Aveira by that union. Not that they have the same prohibitions, but in other words, the partner in the prohibited union, they each have the prohibition. But not that Bat Kohen has, you know, the same prohibitions as a Kohen. So the Gemara says, Bahami Hakanafka, so it means like this. So there are prohibitions that attach to the Benot Kohen, in other words, if she's admonished not to marry Chalala, in other words, so we see there are prohibitions that attach to her. We learn it from there, but we learn it from a different limud. So Rav Yehuda and Rav, the Amar Yehuda Rav, okay, Tanu Beir Rabbi Shmuel, Isha Ushaki Asimi Kol Chatot Adam. This pasuk is in Parshas Naso. It says, if a man or woman do any aveira, Torah makes an equivalency between men and women. And we know that, like, when it comes to lavim, women are chayv and lavim, just like men are chayv and lavim, except for two lavim, which the mission mentions in the Masechet Kiddushin. So he says here, so once I know that women are also some lavim, so don't I know the halacha that Rabbi Yehuda told in the name of Rav above? Imeyahi havamina lav hashav b'kol. He says, if I only had this last limud, Isha Isha, I would say that applies to lavim that apply to all Jews and the same. Of a lav shenu shav b'kol, but if it's a lav that doesn't relate to all Jews, like a lav that relates specifically to Kohanim, I would say lo. I'd say not. So I need the second limud, which is lo yikahu, and which the way Rabbi Yehuda and Rav understand it is that sometimes there are prohibitions that attach to the, you know, to the bat kohen. So the Gemara says on the top line of Pehalat Aleph, Rei Tuma. Now, when it comes to Tumah, the Kohen is admonished not to be Mitame Tameh. Kohen can't be Mitame Tameh. He says, V'tame Tekhebra from B'nei Aron, V'lobedon Aron. So Chazal of Limud, that only the male Kohenim are admonished not to be Mitame Tameh, not the B'nei Kohen, because it says B'nei Aharon. So he says, but Halav HaKev Mina Nashim Chayavot. But were it not for that Limud, I would have said that women are obligated. Why would I have thought women are obligated in that? So my time, Allah Misham, the Rav Yehuda Marav, isn't it because of what Rav Yehuda told the name of Rav? He means from the limud at the bottom, Isha Isha. It was, don't I know it from that second limud? So the second limud would apply even for a narrow lavim like Kahuna. Lo, the Gemara means Lo Yikahu. The Gemara says, no, I would have thought to learn from Lo Yikahu. Lo Yikahu is a lav that's limited to the Shevet Kahuna. So that's what I would have thought and said, gee, they're also, you know, they're prohibited, the Benot Kohen, you know, just like, you know, they can't marry, you know, a just like a halal can't marry them, they can't marry a halal. So I would say they're also the chayiv in tuma. So kamash more on that. So ikida amri, others say that the conversation in the base medrash went this way. Kisha it's the refilay. So the limud was like, this limud is different. This limud is saying, in achinami from the ish oisha, I'm going to learn, you know, both like cast a wide net. Then all of him in the Torah, and even with the kuna also, they're a fire. But kisha is the refilay. I might have thought I should learn from the dinim of tuma, meaning I'll learn from tuma the lav shein shabbat b'kol hu, and I shouldn't throw it. In other words, by tuma, women are definitely exempted from it. So I would think that women are exempted from everything about the kuna. Kamash malam. So he teaches me not this way. All right. Who's got questions, comments, thoughts, anything we did? All right. Let me just wrap it up one second.